This is Father Bob Warren of the Franciscan Friars of the Atonement. Thank you for listening to this rebroadcast of the Ave Maria Hour radio show. The Friars' popular Ave Maria Hour was first brought to the radio airwaves in 1939, recorded in New York City and on the mountainside grounds at Greymore, a home in Garrison, New York. These timeless classic stories of the Bible and the lives of the saints came to life each week through dramatic reenactment by professional actors and actresses. You know, friends, Christ once said, "Do not hide your treasure under a bushel." In saying this, he meant, share your gifts, share your talents. The Friars of the Atonement feel the message in these broadcasts remains as powerful and timely as when they were originally aired, and we are so happy be able to share them with you today. To learn more about the missions and ministries of the Friars of the Atonement, I invite you to visit our website, www.atonementfriars.org. In the meantime, sit back and enjoy this rebroadcast of the Ave Maria Hour.
St. Catherine of Sweden.
The backbiter and the listener both carry the devil in their tongues.
Those are the words of my aunt, the Blessed Catherine of Sweden, from whose lips I never heard an unkind word. I am Inge Gerda, abbess of the convent church of Vadstena, niece of Catherine, granddaughter of Bridget. There are nearly 70 Bridgetine houses now, as we enter the 15th century after the birth of our Lord, and Vadstena is becoming one of Sweden's most famous literary centers as well. But it was not always so. To the fire and force of my remarkable grandmother Bridget, it was necessary to add the patient devotion of her daughter, my wonderful Aunt Catherine. When I first began to consider the religious life for myself, it was a natural thing for my family to send me to Rome to seek counsel from my grandmother Bridget. She had plenty of counsel to give, and she was more than willing to give it. But for a timid and uncertain young girl, it was much easier to talk to a woman closer to my age, particularly if that woman was my oh-so-gentle Aunt Catherine.
Your grandmother Bridget is a most unusual woman, Inge Gerda. I trust you know that.
Oh, I do. But so much energy. It frightens me, so much energy.
She could hardly have done all she has if she lacked energy.
You've done just as much?
Oh, I've done nothing at all but try to help her on her way.
Is it true, Aunt Catherine, that Grandmother Bridget used to scold King Magnus and Queen Blanche for the wicked lives they led?
Quite true.
How did she dare?
She dared anything. She still does.
But the king and queen...
When King Magnus married Blanche, he summoned your grandmother to court to be principal lady-in-waiting. Mother was quite right to consider that she was not there simply to enjoy herself.
Is that when she was blessed with her visions and revelations?
Oh, without such consolations, she could hardly have endured her life at court.
But they laughed at her, didn't they? Father says they did. He says everyone used to snicker and say, "What did Lady Bridget dream last night?" It was a sort of joke.
Oh, I never thought so.
Oh, but you weren't there. You were married. Oh, I've thought about being married.
Of course you have.
Did you love your husband, Aunt Catherine?
Yes, I loved him. He was the kindest man I've ever known.
But you never had any children.
We lived as brother and sister. It was my wish, and he consented.
Were you happy?
Oh, it seemed to me a beautiful way to live. Yes, I was happy. Till my father died, and my mother left Sweden and came here to live in Rome. When that happened, I forgot how to smile.
Mm-hmm.
When she said that, I thought how seldom I had seen my Aunt Catherine smile. But when she spoke of God, the Savior, a change would come over her face. There would be a glow, a brightening of all her features. Oh, it was a beautiful thing to see. Something of this radiance spread over her face when she talked of her mother. I begged her to tell me how it had happened that she left Sweden and had come to Rome to live with my grandmother Bridget.
It was not easy. I was only 19. It was the year of the Jubilee, 1350. Mother had gone to Rome the year before to be ready for it. My husband was quite willing for me to join her, but my brother, your Uncle Charles, oh, he was not
willing
at all.
It's outrageous. I've written Mother and told her so.
She wants me there, Charles. She's lonely.
Mother has never been lonely a day in her life. She's too busy to be lonely. Too busy telling everyone what to do or to stop doing what they're doing and do something else.
All right, then. I'm lonely.
Catherine, you have a husband.
My husband has given me permission.
That's because you're no wife to him.
We live as we have chosen to live, Charles.
As you've chosen, you mean? No man would choose a wife such as you've been to him.
Charles, not everyone is born with your temperament. You must understand that. Some of us must seek God, even if we exclude everything else from our lives. We must do it because that's the way we are. And I must look for God's grace. Must look and look and look, even if I never find it. I must look until the day I die. That's why I've chosen the kind of life I have.
At least it's kept you at home and here in Sweden.
But without my mother, Charles, I cannot go on here at home or here in Sweden. I need her. Her holiness. Her nearness to God. Because I am a weak and pitiable. I need her strength. What's wrong with that?
A dozen things, if you could only see them. You're stronger than you
think
you are. I can't
see anything except that I know God wishes me to be with my mother.
I dare not let you walk in the streets, Catherine.
But, Mother, to be caged here like an animal while others go to nourish their souls in church...
You have an obligation to your husband, even here.
Oh, Mother, I have such dreams.
What sort of dreams?
The Blessed Virgin appears to me and looks at me so sadly. And she reproaches me.
Reproaches you for what, my child?
For my feelings of discontent, Mother. She says I should be satisfied simply to be here with you. And I am. I am. Or I would be if only I could go with you to worship God and do his work.
If Our Lady reproaches you, she must have reason. Perhaps it's a revelation.
What does it mean, Mother?
Perhaps the Blessed Virgin is trying to tell us that your husband has not long to live. She's telling you to stifle your discontent because soon you will be a widow.
And indeed, it was true. My husband did die within the year.
Oh, did you ever want to marry again, Aunt Catherine?
No, never. I was free to work for Christ. We were very poor and always in debt, often in danger of being evicted from our house. One day, as I finished praying in St. Peter's, I saw coming toward me a woman in a white dress, wearing a black mantle.
Signora, may I ask a favor of you?
Of course, Signora.
There is a countrywoman of yours. I think she may be a relative. She needs your prayers.
I have many relatives in Sweden, Signora.
There is one close to you, but not as close to you as some others. Pray for her. She will help you. She will give you valuable assistance. More than that, she will set a crown of gold upon your head.
She was dressed in black and white, you say?
I took her for a Dominican tertiary, Mother.
Maybe, Catherine, that this was no Dominican, but the Holy Mother herself.
It is my belief, Ingegerde, that my mother was right. That it was Our Lady who spoke to me that day in St. Peter's Church. For a month later...
Catherine, come here. Come here, child.
Yes, Mother?
Your Uncle Bilge's wife is dead. Pray for her soul.
I have always prayed for her, Mother.
Bilge says that she left instructions to send us her golden tiara. The one she used to wear for great occasions. I remember it well. It's covered with jewels. When it is broken up and sold separately, we will have enough to live on for several years.
What a wonderful story.
Oh, it's been a wonderful life, Ingegerde.
Oh.
More than I deserve.
You deserve everything, Aunt Catherine.
Hush, child. You don't know what you're saying.
Catherine? Catherine, are you here? Where are you?
Here, Mother. Here with Ingegerde.
Oh, Ingegerde, I had quite forgotten you.
Oh, she doesn't mean altogether forgotten, my dear.
Only for the moment.
I've heard from Charles and I've heard from Birke. It's all settled. They're going with us.
What's all settled, Mother?
Why, the pilgrimage, girl, the pilgrimage. You and Charles and Birke and I will go to Palestine and visit all the holy places.
Oh, what are we to do about Ingegerde, Mother?
Do about her? Well, she can go home, can't she? Or something. Oh, arrange it between you. We leave in about 10 days. Perhaps I'll have had an answer from the Pope by then. If not, well, it can't be helped.
Whatever does she mean, Aunt Catherine, about hearing from the Pope?
Oh, it's the third time she's written to Pope Gregory. He doesn't answer, and it upsets her.
Oh, what on earth does she write to him about?
About returning to Rome. To the Apostolic See, where he belongs.
But the popes have been in Avignon, well, forever.
How very young you are. Not forever, child. Less than 50 years. Before that, they were in this holy city of Peter and Paul for centuries upon centuries.
Oh.
It's something about which your grandmother feels very strongly.
Grandmother feels very strongly about almost everything.
Oh, it's her devotion to God's church, Ingegerde. You must try to understand.
I do. I'd rather talk to you, though.
I'm only her handmaiden, the humblest of her helpers. Did you know that last year she went to see the blessed Pope Urban V?
Oh.
She set off alone on her white mule for Montefiascone, where Pope Urban was staying on his way to Avignon. She'd had a vision where the Savior told her to go to our beloved Pope and warn him of his death.
And she saw him?
Indeed, yes.
And she warned him?
And 4 months later, he was dead.
Oh, my. Well, all the same, I'd rather talk to you.
Oh, come. We must decide what to do about you. A pilgrimage to the Holy Land may take a full year, and you cannot stay here in Rome alone.
The pilgrimage was made then. And my grandmother and my aunt returned to Rome. But my grandmother Bridget died soon after, at the age of 71. Aunt Catherine and an old friend and confessor, Father Peter of Alvastra, brought the body home to Sweden and laid it to rest at Vadstena. When I again talked to Aunt Catherine, she seemed somehow different.
What have you been told, Ingegerde, about Vadstena?
Well, I know it's where Grandmother's convent church is, and where her body is buried.
Oh, I must tell you more of its history. If you are to become a religious, you must know all about your grandmother's labors.
And yours, Aunt Catherine?
Mine do not count.
But
your grandfather died, Ingegerde, at the Cistercian monastery of Alvastra, and Father Peter became your grandmother's confessor. She stayed on at Alvastra after Father's death, for 4 years, in a state of extreme penitence. During those years, she had many visions and revelations, and she confided them all to Father Peter, who wrote them down in Latin.
Well, then I can read them.
You can, and you should. All those visions came to a climax in a command from God to go back to the court of King Magnus And she did. And that was when King Magnus endowed the monastery at Badstena.
Oh, I see.
But though he gave the land and the money, it was not canonically endowed, and its rule has never been approved. When I go to see the Pope, I shall ask him to approve the Brigittine rule.
You? You are going to see the Pope? You?
Oh, don't laugh at me, child.
Oh, but I would never laugh at you, Aunt Catherine.
It's just that it's hard to think of my doing anything so bold. Isn't that it?
Well,
oh,
I know.
I've always been timid and shy and afraid to push. I know it's all true. But this time I feel very, very bold. Yes, I do. Yes, and fearless and indomitable. Because I'm going to see the Pope to press for canonization of my mother.
She would not let me go with her. She would not let anyone go with her. She went alone to see Pope Urban VI.
Everything seems to be in order.
I believe so, Your Holiness.
It says here that your mother did not speak at all until she was 3 years old.
But then, when she did speak, she spoke as a grown person would, not at all as a child.
But what proof have we of this phenomenon?
It is all there, in the letter from her mother to the aunt at Aspenia, the aunt who raised my mother.
Ah, yes, I see it here. This vision she is supposed to have had at the age of 7. Is that right?
The vision of being crowned by Our Lady? Her grandfather, he was the governor of East Gothland, he told the story many times.
But, my dear lady, stories are told, they are repeated, and in the telling, they grow. In repeating, they become embroidered.
Oh, but Your Holiness, if you had known her as I knew her, indefatigable, zealous, oh, more than zealous, all her being, all her sense of life turned heavenward to God, to his glory, to the great, the ultimate truth of his love, his understanding, and his mercy. Forgive me, Your Holiness. I do not mean to intrude myself. I am nothing. I know nothing. I should not say these things, but, oh, if you had known her as I did...
But you... I did not. I did not know your mother.
You think me presumptuous.
I think you loved your mother.
Oh, how could I not? She taught me of God. She brought me close to God.
You must understand that it is no easy matter to issue a papal bull of canonization. It is never done lightly.
I understand, Your Holiness.
It does seem that your mother, the Lady Bridget, made every effort to sanctify herself in whatever circumstances she found herself. The practice of perfection appears to have dominated her life.
It did, Your Holiness. It did. Believe me.
I believe your sincerity. I believe your devotion. I do not know that I believe your objectivity. Now, do not look so downcast. I have not said that you are mistaken. I have only said that we must examine the whole matter more carefully. Now, tell me something of Badstena, the convent church of your mother.
I did not see my aunt for 5 years. That was how long she spent pursuing her dream of having her mother recognized as a saint. At last she came back to Badstena.
His Holiness refused me, Ingegerda.
Oh, Aunt Catherine.
I pleaded my mother's case the best way I knew how. 5 times. But I failed.
Perhaps it is too soon after her death.
Perhaps. Yes, perhaps it is too soon. Though to anyone who knew her as I did, it's quite clear that she's a saint in heaven.
But no one knew her quite as you did, Aunt Catherine.
That is what His Holiness said.
It will come in time.
Oh, yes. It must come in time. Well, now, all was not failure. His Holiness has ratified the Brigittine rule.
Oh,
now, isn't that good news?
I am so glad.
The rule came to my mother in a vision, you know, prescribed by the Savior himself. In daily practice, it is much like the ancient rule of St. Augustine, but my mother set down carefully that Vadstena was to provide for 60 nuns and, in a separate enclosure, 13 priests. 13 in honor of the 12 apostles and St. Paul.
I watched my aunt's face as she talked. That look so much more beautiful than a smile spread over her face. And as I listened, I saw her lose all selfhood in the contemplation of a dream not even her own. The words flowed easily and surely. She was most precise and definite about Brigittine constitution. So long had she lived within her mother's orbit that she revolved there still with utmost grace and ease, though the sun of her being had gone. Do you know how beautiful you are, Aunt Catherine?
What, Ingegerd?
I was thinking to myself how beautiful you are, Aunt Catherine.
I beautiful?
Yes, you. Beautiful.
Oh, what a vain and frivolous thing to say.
Nevertheless, you are.
I'm a very ordinary woman who has to make what use she can of her exceedingly mediocre talents.
To me, you look like a saint.
A saint? Heavens, child. That's a blasphemous thing to say. We may all aspire to be saints, but... No. I do not think I have ever dared even to aspire.
Nevertheless, that is the way you look to me.
No, we simply won't talk about it. Ah, now my mother, there...
All right, Aunt Catherine, we won't talk any more about who's a saint. Tell me more about the Brigittine rule.
Yes, well, there should be 4 deacons representing the doctors of the church and 8 choir brothers, not in orders, making in all 85 disciples of our Lord.
It's true. It is a fine rule. As abbess of Vadstena, I have seen how it works. All our surplus income is given each year to the poor, and our buildings are, according to our constitution, sturdy, but very, very plain. However, each and every nun is allowed to possess as many books for study as she pleases. This stipulation, above anything else, has made our nuns the intellectual equals of the most educated people in Sweden. And God forgive me the pride I take in the fact that so many of these educated people come to our convent for discussion, criticism, and even advice. It was a great joy to me that my Aunt Catherine saw at least the first unfolding of an old dream.
But Stena is growing famous in Gegerde.
Yes, Aunt Catherine.
As long as we do not become vainglorious.
I confess it is something I have to guard against. But not you.
Oh, yes, I too. But it is gratifying, isn't it?
Yes, it is.
Oh, how my mother would have loved... But I mustn't allow myself to dwell on that.
I'm sure she knows, Aunt Catherine.
Yes, I'm sure she does. I feel her blessing each morning when I waken. And my next thought is that this day I will hear from the Pope that her canon is... But no, I mustn't dwell on that either, must I?
No, Aunt Catherine.
Nope. We must just go on here at Vadstena in the spirit, my mother... Well, we must just go on.
Aunt Catherine retired to the convent of Vadstena, and shortly after her health began to fail. Though she made daily confession, her illness made it impossible for her to take communion, so she asked that each day the body of our Lord be brought to her room so that she might offer up her devotions in its presence. On March 24th, 1381, my beloved Aunt Catherine passed away. I was standing at the window of her room when I heard her gentle voice. I moved swiftly to her bedside, and as I bent over her, I could hear her whisper, "Blessed Jesus, receive me." Then all was still. But a light streamed into the room, and outside the window, a bright star shone, far brighter than any star around it. And the star shone each night with the same brightness, until her funeral. 10 years later, her most fervent wish was granted. On the 7th day of October, 1391, Pope Boniface IX declared her mother, Bridget, a saint. When the news of the canonization reached me at Vadstena, my first thought was of how happy it would have made my Aunt Catherine, that most faithful of daughters. But why do I regret that it did not happen during her life on earth? For insofar as it is given to mortals to have intimations of such matters, I am confident that my Aunt Catherine has joined my grandmother Bridget in the great congregation of saints who dwell with our Lord in paradise.